This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The Postmaster General of the United States, Louis DeJoy, is very optimistic the post office is ready for this big holiday shipping season. After the mess of delays last year, he refers to investments in more people, facilities, automation. DeJoy has a controversial 10-year plan for the Postal Service that, among other things, moves some mail off of planes and onto trucks, which critics say could make the mail take longer to get to some parts of the country. I spoke to him from Washington. Mr. DeJoy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Postal deliveries during this busy holiday season, what do you think, a nightmare to come, or you think you have it under control?
David, I have three words. We are ready. It's going to be a great season for the American people and for the for the Postal Services demonstrating its ability to perform. We started early this year with our planning, and we've expanded capacity in people, facilities, automation, and transportation. But what I'm most excited about is all the operational precision activities we've taken on over the last year, and the organization is rallying around this mission. We have great communication, and I'm excited to see how it plays out. So tell all your listeners to send us their packages. We're going to deliver them.
All right. And the reason I raised the question, right, was last year wasn't so great. I mean, non-local first-class deliveries, for example, were running way behind. I think it was like 38% got there on time.
Yeah, that was we were overwhelmed, both in terms of our infrastructure. We did not have the infrastructure to deal with the increase in package volume, substantial increase in package volume. We had excessive employee turnover and availability issues, both from, we were in fact experiencing a pandemic also, and we had some bad hiring practices that have built up over the years. Transportation performance was extremely limited and weak in terms of our air transportation. It was extremely problematic, below 50% performance. And overall, we were just not, when I joined, we were an organizational in crisis, and it manifested itself during, during the peak period. Much different story this year. We're ready.
Now, I get the fact that the post office was not, perfect in every way by the time you got there. These are longstanding issues, but they're big problems to solve, right? I mean, first of all, the internet took a lot of the first-class mail business away from you, mm-hmm. and then the internet means a lot more packages are flowing to and fro. You know, it hurts the bottom line of the institution.
That's accurate. I mean, there's disruption in every industry as time progresses, and that was one of the flanks that was under attack was the change in the digital communications, but there were also many other things that have contributed. I believe there's an operational solution to our issues, but at the same time as we were experiencing this 42% reduction in mail volume, we also had defective pricing regulation. We had unfair retirement funding legislation, and we had lobbying against any type of action that the Postal Service took, including pricing changes. And then I will say there were limited attempts on our part to correct for that, at least significantly enough. That's different now. The DFA plan takes action to achieve our vision, for the future. And we cut waste in operations by $35 billion. We have a new way to address the packaging business and gain, $25 billion in net revenue. We're going to use, we just recently finally got our pricing for market dominant that is more fair and reasonable. And over the next 10 years, we should see $45 billion in that. And we're hoping to get our legislation to pass, and that'll be $50 billion. And the plan eliminates a potential $160 billion loss that was projected when I got here. And enables us to invest, $40 billion in our much-needed infrastructure. So we are excited about where we're going, and we think at the end of the day, we know mail volume still has pressure on it, but we think that we can create an integrated mail and packaging network that delivers to the same 161 million addresses 6 days a week at affordable prices and cover our costs. That's our goal, David, and the organization is very much excited to engage in it, and that's what we're in fact doing right now.
Now, Mr. DeJoy, you embrace a 10-year plan that, among other things, will slow down the mail in parts of the country, and many people think that's either a shame, or they might think, okay, if that's for the health of the Postal Service, no pain, no gain. But then I read that the U.S. Postal Regulatory Commission looked into the 10-year plan and finds it won't save much money in the end. Do you think it's time to rethink the plan?
No. I think the, we have lots of different administrative viewpoints and political viewpoints and industry viewpoints on what it is that we should and should not do. And that's been going on for a long time now, which is why nothing has been done. We think that we know, and in fact, it's in the plan, the 6 day a week, we committed to 6 day a week delivery to 161 million addresses. Mm-hmm. And that is legislated and part of the universal mission. And on the on the other hand, we haven't met our service standard in the last 10 years, and we've spent significant amount of money chasing diminishing mail volumes around the country at expanding, delivering to expanding addresses, a million a year. That's a recipe for disaster. There was no operational way of solving for that. We think that there's a multiplier effect by integrating into one network, filling up our trucks, filling up our carrier bags, and providing the solution. This is not just about the savings, David. It's about also creating operational precision. And it feeds on itself. As you improve your operations, you improve your costs, you improve your reliability, and that's what we're doing as we move forward. I mean, we can't do all things at all cost, and that's really what the Postal Act in 1972 established, that we had to cover our costs. And therefore, we had to evolve our services with the times. And that's what we're, in fact, doing. And we think that we will have we will be used in the future and be affordable and be reliable. And we think, there'll be a good place in the American economy for the Postal Service.
But what about that basic assumption that you have to cover your own costs? I know it's just the way we think these days, and it's part of the law now, but you are a public utility, and getting medicine to people in a rural area on time is just something that has to happen. It's necessary. Maybe operating at a loss isn't such a bad thing.
Well, if you're a postal employee and you see that the way we've survived over the last 10 years is by not paying into our retirement funds, right? And if you see that, our facilities, we spend $1.5 billion a year in capital, which is way under what we need to be doing. And $1.1 billion of it goes into replacing old roofs on old buildings and replacing old air conditioning systems in buildings and not evolving with the marketplace in terms of automation and so forth. We have harmed this institution over the last 14 years. And so there is no, I can't have a policy debate. I'm not a politician. I'm running the United States Postal Service. And I have to have a vision for the future, and I have to have a strategy to get there, and then I need to execute on it under the rules that we have today. And I don't see much of that being changed during my tenure here, other than I am hopeful that the Congress reverses the unfair legislation with regard to our Medicare, the use of our retirees using Medicare. So there's plenty of policy debates, and I often get asked those questions. And what I think about the policy is, it would be interesting, but it's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to run the organization, get the wasted cost out of the organization. You see, there's two types of inefficiencies in the Postal Service, David.
Yeah.
There's the inefficiency of us not managing appropriately, operationally and so forth. And there's a lot of money there. And we say $35 billion, we get out. And then we also add, by properly marketing into the package business, we get new revenue. But we got to root out that operating inefficiency. But then there's the inefficiency of mission, which is going to 161 million addresses each day, whether you have one package, one piece of mail, or nothing. We got to go buy it. We have routes that go by every home, every address, 161. And we sign up to that mission because that is, in fact, the law. And that's what we need to do. But we have to make that efficient also. And then our plan is to drive increased revenue through a common network of mail and packages where we think we can be successful enough to break even. There's plenty of things that, we have a lot of unfunded mandates by the Congress and a lot of things that I think if we got paid for those things, it would be great. But there is wisdom in saying we have to cover our costs because it makes us be relevant. Now, that wisdom was, got attacked when they passed the the Postal Regulatory Act in 2006, where they limited our pricing to CPI. And, our cost components go up much higher than that. And then the diminishing mail volume of 40% really eroded any math made that plan viable. So it was passed 15 years ago. It was outdated 14 years ago. And that's been a big reason, for our problem. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Congress wants us to pass our costs on to the consumers, and that's what our plans need to be based around until they make a change. If they make a change, then we'll address it. And the big difference is that this organization now is addressing its mission within the framework that has been set out by the Congress and trying to serve the American people with that 6-day-a-week delivery. And the changes we are making in service, I believe, are minor relative to where we were in actually providing service and where we were going. And I disagree with the PRC's analysis on this.
The Postal Regulatory Commission.
Yes.
Let's spend a moment on innovation. Mm-hmm. I remember when you could walk into a post office in Britain or Italy and do basic banking. You could save. They gave you checks in some cases. Mm-hmm. These days, I guess it would be some kind of debit card. But then I see that the U.S. Postal Service is experimenting with some banking.
That's been a little bit overblown. We have gift cards that we're able to get out of retail centers, and one of our larger stakeholders, the APWU, wanted to. It's been on the table for a while, looking at taking checks and converting them into gift cards. In certain retail centers, and we gave that a limited test of 4 delivery units. In no way does that constitute an expansion into banking. We have significant regulatory requirements to move forward in any kind of banking thing, and we don't have the expertise to actually pull that off. So again, it was to my mind much to do about nothing, and we try many things with our union partners to try and make a better performance, and we have lots of additional types of things regarding delivering of mail and packages that we're working on. Working on together, and I think there's a plan here for us to break even and serve the American people at affordable prices well into the future. And David, that's innovation, and that's also what our mission is. And that's what I'm setting out to do here.
And I know it's a little early in the morning to think about alcoholic beverages, but I was reading that maybe, I mean, you are prohibited by law from delivering booze and I suppose wine. There's some talk about maybe if the law were changed, you could make some money off that.
Yeah, well, we have lots of rules, David. I mean, we can go on. Listen, I'm an operations exec. I took the job when the Postal Service and the nation were in crisis because I believed that there was a way, an operational and sales and marketing way, to fulfill our mission, which is delivering mail and packages in a cost-effective manner. And that's the path. That's why I'm putting all my focus on, even to do that, to change a price, to change a service. We have tremendous administrative hurdles to jump over to get there. And I'll leave, alcoholic beverages and banking for the policy wonks. Right now, there's enough for us to work on here, to reverse $160 billion projected deficit, and that's what we're working on. And if it comes across that we get the ability to ship a package as long as it's a certain size box and fits our product design that we're working on, we don't really care what we deliver in the end. But I think that's a long way off, like any legislation, and it's not anything I could sit still and wait, but sit behind the desk. If you the Government Accountability Office last month put out a number of things that Congress should look at with regard to us, and it has to do with services. What level of service does the nation need? It asks the same question: should we be self-sustaining? And it asks the other question: what type of institution should we be? Right. Well, those are all good questions, but I can't sit at my desk waiting for somebody to decide that. I think that's been the problem at the Postal Service, and it has eroded. It's eroded the precision, the operational precision the organization needs to perform its mission. It's created stress amongst the workforce. We're fixing it. There's a lot of excitement here at the Postal Service right now. And I'm very proud to lead this organization as it goes through this transformation, and we're going to do it.
Now, I do want to ask you about matters of ethics. I want to ask you about allegations that you were slow to address possible conflicts of interest. At first, you recused yourself, I remember, from decisions at the post office that might affect private companies that you and your family have an interest in. But it was only late this summer, I think, when you actually divested, if you met the post office ethics guidelines all along, which I think you've said. Do you think it's time to maybe tighten the guidelines?
I think there's a lot of sensationalization what I owned when I came into the post. Remember, I came in on 45 days notice and file information and get feedback the day I walk in the door, and that's when I get feedback. Now, should there be changes to that? It wasn't uncomfortable for me from the standpoint of worrying about was I doing anything wrong. It just creates a lot of noise. And again, if the government, I'm not the first person of some level of wealth to join a government agency. I might be in terms of under the current environment, at the Postal Service. But we followed all the government, both the Postal Service rules, the government ethics rules. The OIG audited it and said everything was fine. And that's the process that I followed, racing in to try and perform, government service. And should that be You know, should that be different? Well, you know, if I had 6 months to come in, and then we would have evaluated what direction to take, that could be different. This was an emergent type of situation, and that's for better minds than me to figure out what it should be.
Rami, I ask, right, because I know that the Postal Service is not the central bank of the United States, but the Federal Reserve just tightened up its guidelines, its ethics guidelines, after questions of financial conflicts of interest involved Fed presidents came to light. Maybe it's a time that, you know, that part of the process should be, are the guidelines in place?
Yeah, well, I haven't studied what's gone on there, but you got to remember, my situation is totally different. I was a private citizen. The reason I have good operating experience is because I was in that business, okay? And I owned a lot of different things, and I ran into the agency when it was, self-declared crisis, going to run out of cash in 90 days in the middle of a pandemic, and began to get my advice on what it is I should do, my evaluation from both the Government Ethics Office and the Postal Service while I was employed here. That was the situation that I came in, and I've cleaned up. You know, I've cleaned all of that up that I could. I think, you know, if you would ask me, would I have done that had I known what I would have to part with and what I would go through with regard to my honest life beforehand? That would be more of the question: should somebody engage in this if they're going to go through that? But in any case, I'm here. And this is, what had happened. And I'm not an expert on government ethics rules. And there are plenty of people that proclaim to be. So we'll evaluate that.
You're very candid, Postmaster, about the infrastructure challenges at the actual post offices. You know, roofs that need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. I just went down to mine in suburban New Jersey. And they only got one of the automated machines, and it's broken. It wouldn't do postage. This was just on Friday when I went over.
Yep.
And then
yep.
There's a sign up at the counter that said they wouldn't take any cash. Now, you know, I have a debit card, so no big deal, but not everybody does. I mean, it's clear that the post offices themselves need work.
Well, we have 31,000 retail centers. We have 20,000 delivery units, and we have no money. So that is a big, big, part of the, the problem. When I said we spent $1.1 billion fixing roofs and air conditioning systems, we probably ever need for about $4 billion. And that's one of the things that we're, one of the things that we're looking at now. Our network is requires significant investment. So it's everywhere. And that's the shame of the situation that we're in, and there's many contributors to creating that condition. But we're out to try and fix that.
And again, you're optimistic somehow.
Candid and optimistic is the definition of me.
Louis DeJoy, 75th Postmaster General of the United States. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.